What's up, Ortandians? This is your girl, Ortandia, and thank you for tuning in to your favorite podcast, House of Ortandia. I'm so sorry, baby. I haven't been here in months. What's going on with me? I'm sorry. I left y'all. It's been a long time. I shouldn't have left you without more podcasts to listen to. My fault. You know, last podcast I gave was back in August, towards the end of August, and it's been almost 3 months. Oh, I hope you guys listened to that last podcast. Man, it was about the best news ever, which is the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, man, I hope when I get to heaven, some of y'all walk up to me or run up to me and be like, yo, you are the reason I'm here. I listened to that podcast, man, and I got to talking to Jesus. And so I'm going to be hyped. We're going to get bumped in heaven. Okay. You feel me? Turn up. We're going to pop out. Whatever the words are, we're going to do it when I see you in heaven, man. What's been going on with me? It's been a whole lot of, you know, I had to go through, as we all do, you know. Man, it's been I've been looking for housing. I'm back here again. Man, those of you who have been rocking with me the last 3 years, you know, my lease ends and I'm like, I ain't staying, blah, 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 blah. So I'm there again and I'm looking for a place. But okay, let me backtrack. 2020 was supposed to, man. Well, first of all, this podcast is going to be about what's going on, whether it be me personally or in the news. We're going to talk about what's happening in the U.S. today, okay? But we're going to start with me. So 2020 was supposed to be the year that I bought a home. But the prices in 2020 and me did not gel. She was a greedy heifer. a housing market was a greedy heifer in 2020 and in 2021. And I was not about to give somebody $10,000 more than their asking price. And I just wasn't going to do it. And so I decided not to buy in 2020. And because I didn't want to buy a house and then couldn't furnish it. Or buy a house and then, one, couldn't furnish it. Two, couldn't buy no food. But I got a house. And I just wasn't willing to do that. And so I pulled and I re-signed the lease where I was living. And then 2021 rolled around. So I'm like, okay, 2021, housing market, the price is going to go down. It's going to be at least regular. Maybe not all the way down to where I would like it to be. But it's going to go down. I'm going to be good. I'm going to be cool. Maybe I'll get my spot. I was looking for a house. Also, you know, more so I wanted a house because I had been in apartments for so long. I've always liked condos, but I was like, I'm leaning more towards a house. When I tell you the 2021 housing market was still greedy, right? And so I was like, I'm not about to do this. We're not going to do this. And so my lease ended and I signed the month to month. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm getting November's coming. My goal was November. This is back in June, me talking. By November, I'm going to buy a duplex and, you know, live, you know, mortgage free, have my tenant paying. That didn't happen. So, okay, I'm back looking for a nice apartment, a nice rental. When I tell you the rental market is trash out here, in Philadelphia anyway, I don't know where you are in the world. But when I tell you the rental market is absolute trash, I went to see apartments that look like tree houses. I said, y'all probably like, what? I promise you on everything I love. My sister went with me. My sister Lydia went with me to see one. And it was like, it should have just had on the sign on the home should have said, condemned, to be condemned. Like, the porch was torn down. We walked up the third flight, a flight of steps to the third floor, completely dark. He's like, oh, you know, the lights out on it. I got to get it fixed. Go up this mold in the city, just all kind of stuff. And that has been, man, that has been my experience. Either people aren't calling me back, aren't returning emails, or the people that do, their property is so trash. Like, this is garbage. You really somebody, you want a human being to live here. Like, And it's just a spirit of greed, in my opinion, that's going around in the air from 2020 to 2021. People know that people need somewhere to live. So I can charge you $1,200 for 300 square feet. I can charge you $1,200. He was charging $1,250 for a dump. I can charge. Where you going to go? You ain't got nowhere to go. You got to have somewhere to live. And so the rental market is very disrespectful. The housing market is very disrespectful. I had two of my sisters on it. I was my sister Amber, my sister Lydia. I was like, y'all look, y'all find something, send it to me. And it just wasn't working out. But we're going to see what happens. I have a possibility, and I'll let y'all know how that goes. But I have a possible that I go see this week. I'm recording this on November the 7th. So I go and see it on November the 9th. So the next episode will be next Sunday, and I'll let y'all know. I'll give y'all, if this goes through, because the price is right, the location is right, I just need to see it. I'm going to tell you, the whole, if this goes through, the way that it came about is really it's really a blessing from God, like straight up. You hear people say, oh, it's a blessing. No, if this goes through, this rental is really, it was God looking out for me, straight up. But, you know, we'll see what happens, and I'll let you guys know. But, the housing market is a fool out here. So, if you are in a major city, Chicago, it's not just Philadelphia. Chicago, New York, L.A., Miami, Atlanta, Charlotte, Dallas, Houston, Nevada. You know, the housing market is a whole fool, whether you're trying to rent in a place or you're trying to buy. The housing market is a fool out here. And so, if you were able to buy last year, man, kudos to you. Shout out to you. If you were able to buy this year and still be able to meet all your financial obligations, because what's the point of buying a home and you can't pay any of the utilities. You can't afford none of the utilities, or you can't afford to put nothing in your refrigerator but peanut butter and jelly and bread, or none of the things that you enjoy doing in life, you can't do because you're trying to pay your mortgage. Like, I'm not ever trying to live like that. If I got to live like that, I would go home and live. I promise you, before I, whether a rental or owner, I would go home. Because I know I can get plenty of house back home. with my salary, I can get plenty of house back home. And so, yeah. Kudos to you if you were able to do it. But I pray that there is the pendulum will swing back over to reality. And reasonableness, because the housing market prices are going up and the rental prices are going up, but these people still aren't trying to pay people, livable wages or wages whereby they can afford these prices. And so, you know, that leads me to my next thing, the Great Resignation. First of all, I am so proud of Americans who are like, you know what, I ain't going back to work. And can't nobody make me. And I'm fine making money how I make my money. I shout out to you. Now, I would love to quit my job, but I got some financial responsibilities that I can't just, you know, I'm a tither. So I need to be able to give tithe and offerings on a regular basis, every pay period. So I would love to quit. You feel me? I feel a sense of financial responsibility to my church. And so, and you might be like, well, I don't know. Okay, that's your thing. That's your issue, boo. But you ain't gonna ever convince me that I shouldn't be giving my tithes and offerings. And so I have a sense of financial responsibility to my local church. And so I can't just quit. And I also got a thing with, I like a roof over my head. I got that thing too. I don't want to sleep outside. I don't, you know. And me and concrete don't really, we're not really cool like that. So I don't really want to sleep on outside on the sidewalk and things of that nature. And I got bills. You feel me? I got student loan. Biden didn't do what he was supposed to do and forgive student loans. He's still bumping his gums. I respect your number 46, but I'm going to call you out. Ooh, y'all hear that rude behind dog? And I bet you better shut up. That's not my dog. That's my neighbor's dog. Ma'am, control your dog. I'm sorry. Y'all know this is real. This is live. I don't put on no airs. That's not how I get down. But anywho, the Great Resignation. If you don't, you should have seen that on the news, a newspaper, a blog, or something. But those of you who don't know, the Great Resignation is what the economist is calling this period right now, where people are quitting their jobs in droves. I think August of 2021 was the greatest ship jumping in forever. People deciding that I'm not going to do this for another 5, 10, 15, 20 years. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to quit. You don't value me. You know, you don't have enough employees, but you want to lay all of this work on me, and you don't want to hire more people, and you don't want to give us more money, and people are quitting. And people feel like they have a skill, a talent, an idea that they can put to market and make more money than what their employers are paying them. You know? And then we're in a shared economy. So for people that drive, we're in a gig economy, a better way to put that. People feel like, listen, I can do Uber Eats. I can do DoorDash. I can do Caviar. I can do Instacart. I can do whatever. I could create some shea butter and sell it on Facebook Marketplace. I can knit sweaters and you know what I mean? People just feel like, I'm not doing this no more. I'm not, and I admire them. I really, really, trust me, I really admire them for doing that and just believing. They show a matter of, they show faith that I don't even have. And I believe, and it's sad. I'm not proud of this, but people that are, especially people that are not Christians, they are demonstrating a measure of faith that me as a Christian full of the Holy Ghost don't show. They feel like I'm going to be okay. I'm going to quit this job. And I guarantee you tomorrow I'm going to make some money. And I'm not talking about people going out doing illegal stuff, selling drugs, robbing people. I'm not talking about them people. You're going to always have them people, whether they working or not. You're going to always have that. I'm talking about the people that are quitting, whether so-called low-level jobs. I hate that word, but for lack of a better phrase, low-level jobs, to people that are quitting six-figure jobs. Like, I'm out. And just doing their own thing. And so I did a whole series of launching your business. Go back and listen to that podcast. Those podcasts, is about four of them. Just giving you the basics, like entrepreneurship 101, about starting a business, you know. But again, we're in a gig economy. So you don't, you know, if you're just trying to make some money, you got stuff like Upwork. You got Fiverr. If you have a certain, you got, what's the other one? Etsy. You know what I mean? You can put stuff on. You got drop shipping. You got Shopify. You can drop ship stuff. You know, people are like, I'm not about to sit down and write no 40-page business plan. I'm about to do this Uber Eats. I'm going to do this Uber Eats, and then I'm going to sell some stuff on Etsy, and I'm going to be fine. You know what I mean? But for other people, they need a business plan because maybe they want to go get a storefront and they want to open a restaurant or whatever. So you need a business plan. Some things you can't not have a business plan to do. Especially if you're trying to get funding and stuff like that. But people just are not fearful. We're not like our grandparents or our parents. They would have never, because, you know, they believe in working for 30 years, getting a watch and you know, a party and you going about your way and collect your pension every month. But Generation X, my generation, the generation Y, the generation after them, and certainly Generation Z, they like, they just not getting out of high school. They like, we definitely ain't finna go to work for 30 years. You know, that generation, the I generation, I call them the I generation because they were all born with iPhones. They came out the womb with an iPhone to their ear. So I call them the I generation. But, you know, Gen Z, they like, I wish I would go to somebody's job for 30 years. They ain't playing that. And so, you know, it's so many ways to make money out here. It's nothing like it was 10 years ago or 15 years ago or 20 years ago. And so, yeah, I just say all that to say I'm proud of you that said, you know what? I'm going to make it or bust. I'm quitting this job. You know, maybe you've been there for 10 years, 5 years, 6 years, 2 years, whatever you were, 15 years. And you said, no, I can make it. I'm going to make it. I salute you. I am proud of you. Man, I celebrate you. If I had a trumpet, I would blow that thing right now. I promise you I would. I would blow. that thing right now. Oh, okay. What else is going on, man? We got to talk about the crime. Crime in the United States. I call it the USA, the United States of anger. People are pissed off in this country. Like, it is... Crime is wherever you are. I don't care if you in Buck Tussle, Mississippi somewhere. People are angry and pissed off, and crime is going up. And a lot of that has to do with poverty. People are feeling like, I ain't got no money. I'm pissed off. You know, and there's no one telling them that, bro, you can, or sis, you can make money this way. This is, you know what I mean? So poverty plays a part in it. And just, you know, mental illness plays a part in it. And it's not your typical person that's out here bipolar, schizophrenic. It's other factors other than that that are leading people to just walk up to people and just shoot in the middle of the Walmart, to just shoot in the middle of, you know, this. And here in Philadelphia, the dude raped some dude, some... I don't even want to call him a man because he's not that. This cell, I call him a cellular force. This cellular force, because I don't want to give him the privilege of being called a human being. But this cellular matter, I call him that, raped a woman on the L train. The L train is like our train that takes you from one part of the city to the other. But he literally sat next to this woman. She was minding her business. And he began to fondle her, and then he raped her on a train headed to 69th Street, which is a busy street, a busy part of the city here. And he, for 6 minutes, and then the police commissioner had the balls to get his mayonnaise-y face on TV to say, well, you know, the police, we responded we responded in like 4 minutes, 3 or 4 minutes. That's pretty fast. Well, tell that woman. And she was being raped for 6 minutes. How fast your police response 3 minutes is. That's like an eternity for her. This man, and he was homeless. Not that that matters. I don't care if he was the CEO of Xfinity. I don't care who he was. He violated this woman's, like, and then he lied. The police commissioner lied. Because he went on TV with his mayonnaise face and said, oh, people put up their phone and everybody was filming it and nobody helped. People were like, and then our DA Krasner came out and some other people were like, it wasn't that many people on the train. He lying. He lied. It was like a few people and nobody really knew what was going on. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't filled. They were like, it was not filled. It wasn't like 100 people on the cart watching. He was like, that's a lie. And furthermore, the DA was like, one of the ADAs was like, if where are these people at? We would have seen the video if that was the case. If people pull up their phone. He lied. And so, you know, he politicized this woman's rape. And so, yeah, I don't want to wish them bad on the police commissioner. That ain't cool. I'm a Christian. I can't. But he's a liar. He lied. I will say that. Yeah. And then he tried to trivialize. Oh, we responded in 3 minutes. This woman was raped for 6 minutes. And your little 3 minute police response, I don't care nothing about that. You know, shout out to that woman. I pray, my prayer to her is that she gets all the comfort and love and support and healing that she will need during this time for her. And she is, what happened to her is not lost on me. And my prayers to the cellular matter that sexually violated her, that he never gets out of prison ever, that they give him 120 years and that he dies in the penitentiary here in Pennsylvania. And I want him, while he's there, I want him to get saved, fall in love with Jesus, all that wonderful stuff, get transformed and all that stuff. But you get saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost in the penitentiary for the next 120 years. That's what I want for you. And yeah. But it's every day you turn on the news, wherever you are in America, you're going to find. So, okay. So what do we do? My back home, I'm from, you know, Alabama. Every time I call my family, they're like, yo, somebody getting shot up every day. It's hard to go. So you don't want to go nowhere. You don't want to, because people just, and it's young people. According to my family back home, it's young people that's just getting access to guns and just shooting, busting. It's family members, y'all. I'm gonna tell you about two stories from back home. One, a brother, these are two, both the same. Both brothers, you have two brothers that shot their brothers, biological brothers. So one incident, they got into a fight, and the dude shot his brother behind a store and left him there to die, right? And so the brother that he shot was actually friends with my sister-in-law, and like good friends. And so, and then another instance, the two brothers were arguing in a car. The one brother was leaning into the car and he was arguing with his brother. And so he was like, man, whatever. He turned his back to walk away, and the brother that was in the car shot his own brother in the back. So this is the kind of stuff that's going on right now. This happened all in 2020. I'm sorry, 2021. So that's the kind of stuff that's going on. And it's like there is a spirit of violence that's been released from the pit of hell. There is a spirit of animosity, a spirit of I don't care. I don't have no value for life. I'll take your life and I don't care nothing about it. And so Christians, if you listen to this, you love Jesus for real, we got to take authority over this thing that's happening, because it's too many young people. We got people shooting people, drive-bys, killing innocent people. Little kids can't play out. It's just too much. It's too much. So I keep your head on a swivel. I'm going to say it this way. When you go outside, I don't care where you're going. Walmart, Dollar Tree, Dollar General, Family Dollar, restaurant, grocery store, in line, ready for the light to shine, wherever you are, keep your head on a swivel. I'm not trying to promote fear. Don't be out here looking like you on crack. You just, you know. But be alert and attentive to where you are, your surroundings. Because it's real out here. And I'm a proponent of getting your weapon, get your gun, get it legal. Don't buy no gun off the street. Go to your county office, your police department, where you are, and apply for your gun license. That is your right in this country to have a weapon. I mean, if you don't have a felony, that is your right in this country. Go get your gun. You need to be able to protect yourself. Or go get some bear mace, or go get knives, whatever. I know I just literally said, go get a knife, carry a knife. Sorry. I mean, if knives are your thing, go for it. But you need something. You need something more. You need to be able to, you know, I believe in the protection of God. Cause I walk, and I have to remind myself that it's not me protecting myself. It is God protecting me. So I have to continuously remind myself of that. I'm aware of that. Cause then I'll get some super deep Christians listening to me and say, well, the blood of Jesus protects you. Thank you, boo. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you, honey. Now go sit down in the corner with your gold star. I'm aware that the blood of Jesus protects me. I just have to keep reminding myself, like, Rattani, it's not you that's protecting you. It's not the weapons that you have on you. So don't run up on me, okay? So it's not the weapons that you have on you that's protecting you. It is God that is protecting you. So, yeah. But get yourself a weapon, honey. Especially sisters. Especially women. Don't be out here just toot-toot-loo, lollygagging, being at the pumping your gas and not looking around. You and 10 o'clock at night filling your cart with gas. Sis, you ain't paying no attention. Your head down on your phone. That ain't it, sis. That ain't it. I saw a video where sister was pumping gas with had the blicky on her. She had the gun, a gun in one hand and was filling her tank with the other. Like, I wish I wish you would run up on me. I was rolling. I said, oh, I think she was in the South somewhere. But she wasn't playing. She's like, I got the blicky on me. Try me. Try me. Try me. She was like, try me. Black girl. I was so proud of her. And I want to meet her. I was so proud of her. But we got to do something. We got to pray if you're a believer. Protect yourself. And if you got young people in your life that listen to you, I mean, if you're worth listening to, talk to them. Talk to them about, speak value into them. Speak hope into them. Show them something different so that they don't have to turn to violence. They can learn how to navigate hostile situations. If they get into it with somebody, the next thought is not, I'm gonna go home, I'm gonna go get the gun and end your life. Like, talk to people. Talk to the young men and women in your life. I got young nieces and nephews in my life. You know what I mean? I got young cousins. You know what I mean? I try to, especially my young nieces and nephews, I try to, man, if I can get them a million kisses every day, I would. But I live so far from them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to show them the love. I just want to show them the kindness that I didn't get as a kid. You know what I'm saying? If you got nieces and nephews and great nieces and great nephews and you got close, you have access to them like every day, you need to be pouring down love on them. So they don't got, and you need to be showing them conflict resolution skills if you got it. That is, if you have it, you know. Get them involved in stuff. Get them involved in unique things, not just a typical football, baseball, you know. Get them involved in robotics and kayaking and rope climbing and wall climbing. What is it? Rock climbing. And get them in just horseback riding. And you know what I'm saying? Get them involved in some other stuff other than peewee football. And not, it's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that. But they can do other stuff than play football, play baseball, play basketball. Get them involved, man. Let them play... what's the sport? Lacrosse. Let them play lacrosse. Let them play rugby. You know what I'm saying? Let them get them in a cooking class. Maybe they'll be, master chef somewhere and have 100 restaurants somewhere. Get them in a pastry cooking class. Maybe they'll be the world's best pastry chefs. Get them in an architectural training program and whatever, you know, I don't know, but get them involved in stuff so that violence isn't there. They're not leading with violence. They're preoccupied with something. And in addition to them being preoccupied with an activity, you're teaching them how to resolve conflict in a way that sustains life. And for them knuckleheads in your life that you know keep a weapon on them, that's already a felon, talk to them too. You know, try your best, because they got brick heads. You know what I mean? Sometimes the only thing they're gonna listen to is the judge say 30 years, and unfortunately that's the only thing that's gonna wake them up, you know. But if you can talk to them, talk to them too. Oh goodness. Okay, I'm moving on. What I talked about, the housing market, I talked about crime out here in these streets, I talked about the great resignation. Yeah. Oh, I do want to talk about, man. Y'all know a lot of people been coming missing. A lot of grown folk. There are a lot of kids that are missing, but there are a lot of grown people that are missing. But what I take issue with, and y'all already know, I'm pro-black. I'm not even pro-black to the point where, you know, I hate other races. I'm not that. I'm not like that. I'm for the forward progression of black people and the treatment of black people as the human dignity of black people. That's what I'm for. I don't care if you like it, don't like it. Hate that I try to mix Christianity and black dignity in the same paragraph. I don't care what you think. I don't care. I am for the forward. find you another podcast, baby. Cause I'm for the forward progression of black people. And so back to missing folk. There are a lot of missing people, man. Adults, 20-somethings. And so what I take issue with is this Nancy Petito mess. You know, I'm sorry that her family has lost her. Like, her life was taken by her so-called boyfriend. And he took her life. And then he lied. And then he went and took his own life because he didn't want to be held accountable for what he did to this young woman. So I'm not making small of this family lost their daughter. You know what I mean? I'm not making small of that at all. But what I take issue with the media, and I take issue with police officials and FBI and all these people who put it on our screen every day as if she was the only person, adult woman, missing. But there's something called the missing white woman syndrome, where people humanize white women. When they go, something happens to white women, it's like, that could be my friend. That could be my daughter. There's something I gotta do. I need to help. And so the media, and they know this. And so that's why they're so quick to put white, blonde, blue-eyed white women on. If you know, on the news. That's why you heard about her on Good Morning America and everything else. Meanwhile, there are 4, 5, 6, 10 black folk missing the same time. And you didn't hear a peep unless you saw them, their family post about them on Facebook or Instagram, or you live in the city where they're from and it might have come across on the news, the 5 o'clock news or 10 o'clock news in their city. Jelani Day was missing. He's from Chicago, but he was missing the same time as Nancy Petito. I heard about him on Facebook. Somebody posted about him and his family. They were missing the exact same time. David Robinson was missing before Nancy Petito was missing. He was missing, I think in the same desert. I have to look it up. But his name is David Robinson. Jelani Day, David Robinson, Keisha Jacobs, to name a few. These people were all missing the same time. These are all black people. The same, and they were, David Robinson, they still haven't found him. Jelani Day, they found him naked in a river in Peru, Illinois, with his car, his clothes like scattered, his car, and then they found his body. And it's like, okay. We never heard, y'all didn't see, you're hearing about him now. His mom was just on the Tamron Hall show. So you're hearing about him now because why? His mom said, this isn't right. Y'all acting like my son is nothing. Like, and she went on Tamron Hall, and I was so proud of Mama Day, because Mama said, my son is a human being. Her son was studying to be a speech pathologist, if I'm not mistaken. And so she was like, and they were trying to say, she said the police was trying to say, well, you know, did he have a bad day, or did he just run off, or like, she was like, don't try to point out negative stuff about my son. Find my son. I just want y'all to help to find my son. And so that's why you're hearing about Jelani Day a lot now, because she had to put the media on blast. She was like, y'all not going to ignore my son, my baby. Like, he ain't white and blue-eyed and blonde, but that's my baby, and y'all going to give my son some attention. And so they've just done a third autopsy on him, and he was in the water for like 10 days. And so they were saying, like, a lot of the stuff they weren't able to see because, you know, it was hot, and it's sad, man. Daniel Robinson. Matter of fact, let's pull up their name. Y'all know I like to let my Google thing work. Daniel Robinson is a geologist. His name is Daniel. I'm sorry, not David. Daniel Robinson. He went missing back in June. And so he's a geologist. He was in Phoenix and he was at a work site. And they say the person that he was working with that day say he was acting weird, and he just up and left and jumped in his truck and drove off. And so people were saying, but you never worked with him before, so how do you know if he was acting weird or not? Like, what are you even talking about? And so they later found him, and again, nothing about Daniel Robinson. His family had to put that stuff on social. He was missing since June. Now, how many times since June have you heard about Nancy Petito or Gabby Petito, whatever her name is? You've heard it plenty of times. And so the father, he's from South Carolina, the Carolinas. So he drove out there with his family. He's still searching for his son. They found his son's Jeep. Again, his car was, his phone was a ways from the car. His clothes were scattered all over the ground. And his Jeep was turned to one side, was turned over. And the police was like, oh, it's not foul play. Oh, okay, so where he at then? So where he at if it's not foul play? And so that kind of stuff, this is what I'm talking about. It's like, you know, you're not going to disregard black people. You're not going to. And I'm glad that these parents are calling them people, the media out. They're calling the police and the FBI and everybody involved out. They're not pussyfooting around. They're not sweet talking it. They're not trying to find some sugar to sprinkle on it to make the media and the police feel better about them, better about being jerks. They're calling them exactly what they are. You racist piece of fill in the blank, and you prefer to show that this white woman is missing than to show these black men and women are gone. And in some instances found later murdered. And so shout out to their family. I'm so proud of them. If I sound angry, that's because I am. am, like I said, I love black people. And if you're doing us wrong, I'm going to call you out. I don't care who you are. Okay? And so, I'm going to breathe now. Oh, and if you want to find out about, you know, missing black women, there's a website called ourblackgirls.com. And, you know, be on the lookout, man. When you're out and you see something a little weird, you know, take note of it. Look, you know, whatever. Get involved. That's what I do when I'm out. I'm be looking like, okay, if a little girl or a little child or a woman just look like they don't belong with you, baby, I'm calling 911. I'm making a scene. I'm calling 911. I'm acting a whole fool. Now, I'm willing to take that risk. I'm acting a whole donkey. I'm going to start screaming in the middle of the street. I'm going to act a fool. I'm going to call 911. They coming. We got to get involved, man. We got to get involved. Whew. Child, I'm talking a lot because I ain't talked to y'all in so long, girl. And homeboy, that's why I'm talking a lot. But I got one more thing I wanted to talk about. And that is what I've been watching. Y'all know I love some TV. Baby, I will watch some TV. I love good quality TV, though. I don't want to see no sex scenes and kissing, homosexuality on this. I don't want to see none of that. And I don't care if you think I'm anti. I'm not anti-homophobic. I don't hate people. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? But I don't want to see it on TV. And I don't want to see interracial couples on TV. Stop trying to shove it down my throat. No, I don't want to see a black man with a white woman. Or a white woman with a black man. No. Or a black woman with a white. No, I do not. I do not. Sorry. Not sorry. I don't want to see it. I love to see black shows with black people. In love with black people. Doing business with black people. I don't apologize for that. And so, some of the shows that I have been watching and falling in love with, I hope you go check it out. Number one is Our Kind of People. It has the beautiful Yaya DaCosta. If you don't know who Yaya DaCosta is, Google her, baby. She bad to the bone, and I just love her. I first came across her, she was on America's Next Top Model way back, the year that Eva Marcel won. They were on the same episode. The same season. And Eva Marcel from Housewives of Atlanta, she won that season. But Yaya was on there. Beautiful, has a fro of life. Just a dancer. She's just an all-around stunning woman. But she's in a show on Netflix Hulu called Our Kind of People. It's about a black family, a black wealthy family up in the Hamptons. And they have a long line of just being rich. And then she's a part of that family. She found out that her father is the patriarch of that family. And it's just a great show. It's an amazing show. All black cast. Marsh Chestnut is in there. And his wife is just as chocolate as he is. And baby, I love it. Who else? The guy from Scandal. Remember the guy, the father, the woman, the father of the woman from Scandal. He's in there. He's the father of Yaya DaCosta. But he's in there. It is so good. The dude, I don't know his name. Oh, shoot. I don't know the guy's name. But anyway, it's a beautiful cast of chocolatey goodness. And you will love it. You will love it. So check out Our Kind of People. The next one is a movie, and this movie is on Netflix, and it's called Fatherhood. Oh my gosh. It is starring Kevin Hart, who I'm not a fan of at all, but he did really well in this movie. It is a movie about a single dad. The mother, she died shortly after giving birth to the little girl, and the little girl is a chocolate little girl who is funny. It's I don't know what. You're going to love this movie. It's called Fatherhood. Go check it out. The next thing is The Harder They Fall. Baby, it is a Western. It's on Netflix as well. It is starring Idris Elba, Regina King. I think her name is Jazzy Beats or Dazzy Beats or something. Who else is on there? Lakeith Stanfield, I think it's his name. Dion Cole, the comedian, he is in there. I don't think I recognize anyone else, But it was it. Now I'm gonna keep it real with you. No, I keep it real. The first 15 minutes, you're gonna be like, "What is this? What is this? I just wasted 15 minutes of my life that I can't get back." But stay in there. Stick with it. By the 25-minute mark, it started getting good. It's because the first time I turned it on, I was like, "This is trash." I did like 7 minutes. I was like, "I'm out of here." The next day, I said, "Let me just." It's 2 hours long. So the next day, I said, "Let me just check it out." Watched it. Boom. And I liked it. Now, there is some pushback because they have Stagecoach Mary as a biracial, fair-skinned, 5'3" woman. When the real Stagecoach Mary is like a 6'4", 200-pound, dark-skinned woman. So, of course, the director of that film and the person that took the role, I think her name is Dazzy Beetz or Bazzy. She plays in... Dear White People. I can't think of her name. She's from the UK. But she's been taking a lot of flack, her and the director, because people feel like, "Ma'am, you should not have taken that role. You know good and doggone well Stagecoach Mary don't look nothing like you." You know? And so some people feel like Leslie Jones should have gotten that role because the Stagecoach Mary looks more like Leslie Jones. I feel like Viola Davis could have done that role. I feel like what's the girl that sing Brown Sugar Baby? I can't think of her name. She sounds so much like Erykah Badu. Young girl. I feel like she could have done it, you know. Just a number of people. Jennifer Hudson, put her in there. Y'all put her in everything else. She could have put her in there, you know. I feel like anybody, I agree with the people that Stagecoach Mary should not have been portrayed by this sister. You know, no disrespect for this sister, but I just feel like, okay, what is this? That part irritated me, you know, and if you are like me, it's going to irritate you as well. But aside from that, it is a good movie. The other thing is Really Love. It's on Netflix as well. It's the guy from Queen Sugar. His name is... what's his name on Queen Sugar? Archangel? What's the boy name? You know who I'm talking about. The dark-skinned dude on Queen Sugar. With the little boy. Him. It's him. And I don't know this love interest in the movie. I can't remember her name. But the movie is really good. It's called Really Love. He is a painter in the movie. And she is... I believe like a lawyer. She's in law school at like Howard. It's based in DC. And I want to say she's in law school at like George Washington University or something like that. And I think she went to undergrad at Howard and then she's going to law school at like GW or something. And then it's just a really modern day, it's a beautiful love story. And they both dark skinned. So I was already here because they both have chocolate skin. I was here for it. From just the images from the movie. And I saw it a couple of times. You know how you go through Netflix. And I'm like, I don't really want to see that. And then, okay, let me give you this caveat. In Really Love, you're going to have to fast forward. It's a couple of sex scenes in there. Like, so you're going to have to, if you're like me, you're going to have to fast forward. Like, okay, just fit, you know how on your, you can like 15 minutes, or just take the little thing and fast forward it through that part. So you are going to have to fast forward through those sex scenes. A couple of sex scenes, I want to say. Maybe two or three that you're going to have to fast forward through. But it is a beautiful story. And if you're from D.C., you get to see your city. You know, all the it's Ben's Chili Bowl. I think they went there on like the first date. They went to, you'll see it. And it's really cute. I like that. The next one is Hip Hop Evolution. It came out last year, I believe. Latter part of last year, early part of this year. You might already have watched it. It's on Netflix as well. It's going all the way back to how hip hop started to present day. It's about 10 episodes. But if you're into hip hop like me, you're going to love it. They go all the way back to, now this I did not know where breakdancing came from. Breakdancing came from, there used to be breaks in the record back in the day. So they would, you know, you just go pop, 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 for like 5-10 minutes. It would be a break in a song with nothing but like a beat. And so they just started dancing during that break. And so people just started calling them break dancers. And that's how it started. Child, I was blown away. It's not a white person doing this film, because I was like, if this person is white, I'm not even going to look at this at all. I don't want no white person telling me about how my music started. But it's a black dude who was also a rapper. He went and dug in the crates. He went all the way back to, like, the dude that did the hop, that he interviewed them. All of them. He went all the way back to the 70s. Grandmaster Flash, Furious Five. He's talking to these dudes. He went where hip-hop really, really started. And then he went to all the reiterations of hip-hop, like South. He was in Atlanta. He went to Miami. He went to New Orleans. He went to Detroit. He went to L.A. He was in Texas. Memphis. Because, you know, all of those cities have their own variations of hip-hop. Miami is booty shaking. You know what I mean? New Orleans, it's bounce. You know what I'm saying? LA, it's gangster. You know, in Memphis, it's, I think it's called a gangster walking. Or in Chicago, it's drill rap or whatever. So he was going to all of these places to get their influence, how they interpreted hip hop for their city. It's so dope. If you're a hip hop head, a hip hop, and you love the history of hip hop, check out the Hip Hop Evolution on Netflix. It's so dope. And then the last movie, it's not a movie. This is like a weekly show that comes on. It's In My City. It's called The Wonder Years, the black version. Now, I was irritated that they used the name, but Fred Savage is one of the executive producers. But the guy who's directed it and who's also an EP on it, he grew up in Montgomery, Alabama, and he's done a gazillion movies. You know, shout out to Montgomery, Alabama. There are a lot of famous people that came from Montgomery. So don't y'all sleep on my state. The state of Alabama, and particularly the city of Montgomery and the city of Birmingham. Baby, I'm going to take you to Birmingham for a second. Angela Davis came from Birmingham, boo-boo. So did Sonia Sanchez. I know Sonia Sanchez lived in Philly, but she was born and raised in Birmingham, Alabama. Okay. Let me take you to Montgomery real quick. Octavia Spencer from The Help and some of these other movies that y'all love so much. She's from Montgomery, Alabama, boo-boo. And who else? It's a lot of people. I might have to give y'all a little history lesson on my state. Don't play with my state. Nat King Cole was born in Montgomery, Alabama, too. He wasn't raised there. I think he was raised in, like, Detroit. But his home where he was born in is considered a historical home, and it was purchased by Alabama State University, and you can go and you can tour it and all of this good, wonderful stuff. Okay, don't play with my state. People like to try to throw shade at Alabama, but that's the home of the civil rights, boo. I'm sorry. I'm gonna come and bring it back. Let me wheel it back. But The Wonder Years, back to this show, is based in Montgomery, Alabama. The guy who he also grew up in, I can't think of his name. I'm sorry. Let me get his name so I can stop saying I can't think of his name. Creator, you know, get my Google finger working. The Wonder Years, the black version. Here we go. His name is Saladin Patterson. That's his name, and it comes on Netflix's. No, it comes on Hulu. I'm sorry, it comes on Hulu. And man, it takes me back to my childhood. It's based in like 1968, and I wasn't born in. But some of the stuff that, you know, I remember, like, oh, that was around when I was a kid. That was around. So check out The Wonder Years. It's cool. It's funny. It's so funny. It's narrated. It gives you Everybody Hates Chris vibes. You know how he narrated the scenes when Everybody Hates Chris? They're doing the same thing on The Wonder Years. I can't think of the guy that's doing the narration. It's not the EP or the director. It's not Isaiah Washington. It is, hold on. He's doing an amazing job. Hold on. No. Don Cheadle, that's his name. He's narrating it. And he's doing an amazing job. So check these movies out, these shows out. Again, Our Kind of People is on Hulu. Fatherhood is on Netflix. The Harder They Fall is on Netflix. Really Love is on Netflix. Hip Hop Evolution is on Netflix. And The Wonder Years is on Hulu. Check them all out. Man, we've been talking for a minute. And so I love y'all, man. And like I always say, I want to see you in heaven with me. And I'm out.